Rama Reja Bat Dov, from the Bracha. And also, we want to acknowledge this Mrs. Selma Horowitz, and we want to acknowledge also a contribution from Romina's mother, Mrs. Pearl Field, that was very generous. And Mrs. Selma Horowitz went through the Holocaust, which was a horrible experience, obviously. And she was hidden by, she and the family were hidden by a non-Jew who was one of the Hasidim Ora Olam. But she came to America, and while she didn't have children, she's clearly appreciated by the other members of her family, and she made a big contribution to the shul at Yad Vashem. So I hope this is a big zechus for her. All right, so I'm going to begin on Kuf Hayamud Aleph. We're going to do the last piece of the Gemara, and then we'll hear some words from Rabbi Ismach, and then I'll say a few words, and we'll hear from Rabbi Simon. Okay, so I'm beginning on Erevin Kuf Hay, around eight lines from the top. Everybody should have it, where it says Tanu Rabbanan. So Tanu Rabbanan. Now, what Gemara is talking about, taking tummy things out of the Beis HaMikdash. They had a dead sheretz, and who takes it out, and where can you take it out on Shabbat? But Tanu Rabbanan, Hakol Nechasim BeHeichal, Lebno L'Takein L'Otzi Et HaTuma. So the Braisa says that anyone can enter the Heichal. The Heichal is the covered portion of the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody can enter the Heichal, Lebno, to build there, L'Takein, to repair things there. He says, L'Otzi Et HaTuma, and to take Tuma out of there. Nevertheless, the mitzvah is ideally with kohanim, should be the ones who do those things. If there are no kohanim, nechnasim levim, then levim would come and do it. Ein sham levim, nechnasim yisraelim. So the Braisa doesn't mention anything about tuma and tara. So the Gemara deduces from this ve'idi torin in tamei lo. So we take it that so the pecking order is kohanim, levim, and yisraelim. They're going to go and do whatever needs to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. So a Kohen preferably, if not a Kohen, a Levi, if not, you'll have a Yisrael, but only if they're Tohorim. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Kahana Messiah Kani. So Rav Huna says, Rav Kahana, he helps out the Kohenim. So there's a question whether Rav Kahana was or was not a Kohen. So Rabbeinu Hananel takes it that he was a Kohen. If you look in Rabbeinu Hananel, he says, Rav Kahana, Kahanahu, who Messiah Kani. But the Tosfos in Psachim says he wasn't a Kohen, and then there's a Tosfos in Kiddushin that says it might have been two Rav Kahanas, but even if he wasn't a Kohen, but his name is Rav Kahana, so it says that he helped the Kohenim out. Ditani Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana taught the following Braisa. It says, Mitoch Shenemar, Achla Parochet Lo Yavo, Yechol Yehu Kohenim Bali Mumim Nechnasim Bira Ulam Bala Mizbeach, Lasot Rikwe Pachim. It says concerning Kohen who's a Baal Mum, Achla Hamizbeach, I'm just letting people in here. It says, Achala Parochet Lo Yavo. Did I do the recording on this? Did the recording? Oh, I should be recording. Okay. So he says, Achal HaParochet Lo Yavo. Yechol, so they can't come to the Parochet. These are the Bali Mumin. Yechol Yu Kohenim Bali Mumin Nechnasim Bein Ulam Bala Mizbeach Lasot Rikwei Pachim. I might have thought that a Bal Mum can't enter in order to attach like these golden plates in the Kodesh Kadashim. He says, Tamad Lomar Ach Chalek. So Ach means Achala Parochet, means it's qualifying. In other words, a Kohen whose Bal Mum can't do certain things, other things he could do. Ach Chalek. Mitzvah B'Tmimim. So the mitzvah is that the work will be done with Kohenim who are Tmimim, who are not Bali Mumin. He says, Ein sham tamimim nechnasim balei mumin. If there's no tamimim, so the balei mumin will do it. Mitzvah is betorim. Ein sham torim nechnasim tameim. So in other words, if you go to torim, you do tameim. But edi konim in yisraelim lo. So this brisa is different than the other brisa. The first brisa says the pecking order is konim levim yisraelim, but everybody's tahor. So Kohen who's Tamei would be, not on that list. Here, this Bryce is saying that if a Kohen's who's Tamei, he has priority. So that's what we said, the Rav Kahana Messiah Kahane. Okay, the second very wide line on Kuf Hayamud Aleph. So Ibayilhu, the question was asked in the base Medrash, Tamei u'Baal Mum, Ezameyam Nechnas. If you have one Kohen who's Tamei and the other's a Baal Mum, which one gets priority? In other words, so each one has a strike against them. So they're both Kohenim. One's a Baal Mum, he's got a blemish, and the other is Tamei. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar, Amar Rav, Tamei Nechnas. So Rav says that the Tamei gets priority, Da'ish Tarei Bavodat Tzibur, because sometimes Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, sometimes things are Tamei, And the Kohen nevertheless gets to do Avoda, even though he's Tamei. So the Kohen who's Tamei would have priority over somebody who's a Baal Mum. A Baal Mum never gets to do the Avoda. Reb Lazo Meir, Baal Mum Nechnas, Do Ishtari Bachilat Kachim. He says, Reb Lazo says the Baal Mum gets priority, because the Baal Mum, he can eat Kachim. A Kohen who's Tamei can't eat Kachim. So they each have a Milo that the other one doesn't. Okay, we're on the fourth very wide line from the top. Reb Shimon Omer Bechuli. Then, the last Mishnah mentioned some disparate halachot that didn't seem to have any connection with anything. In the Mishnah, we said that Reb Shimon Omer, Makom Shitu Lecha Chachamim Mishalcha Nat Nulach, that where the Chachamim were matir to you, they gave it from that which was yours. And then another sentence, Shlomitu Lecha Elam Mishum Shavut. They only were matir because it's Shavut, it's the Drabanan. So Reb Shimon Omer Bechule, Reb Shimon Hecha Koi. So where does this statement Reb Shimon relating to? So the Gemara says, Hatam Koi. It's relating to a Mishnah we had much earlier in our Masechta on Daf Nun Beis. He says, Didan, we learn in the Mishnah, Mishech Shich Chutzatchum, Afilu Ma'athat. He's traveling from town A to town B, and he's trying to get there, before, he's trying to get there on Shabbos, and he has a Tchum, he's got 2,000 Amot. So he's trying to get there before Shabbos, actually, and he's trying to get there before Shabbos. So Mishech Shich Chutzatchum, Afilu Ma'achat. So now it comes out that when Shabbos comes, he's like outside his tchum, so he's stuck. So he can't move anywhere. He says Lo Yikanes. Reb Shimon Omer Afilu Chamesh Esrayim Ma Yikanes. Reb Shimon says, in other words, if he gets within the tchum of the city that he's trying to get to, then he's home free. So Reb Shimon says, if he gets that city, and there's signs that say up to here is the 2,000 amot. So Reb Shimon says that he's got another 15 amot beyond the sign. He says, Yikanes, Lepishen Meshuchot Matzin and Amidot Neatoim, that the surveyors are not so precise with the sign, with the 2,000 amot, because they know there's different pshat than Rashi has. But one pshat is that they intentionally cut back where it says, in other words, it says, up till here is the Tchum Shabbos. So, according to one version, Rashi, they put the signs 15 amot before the Tchum. So, even if he gets, if he's in 15 amot of the sign, he can still enter that city, because he's really, that's a kula that he has already. He says, the Kamar Tanakama lo yikanes, so the Tanakama said earlier that he's stuck, that he can't enter that town, because he's outside the tchum. So the Gemara says, but Amarli Reb Shimon Yikanes. Reb Shimon here says he can be Mekat Nechnas. Okay, the last couple of lines I'm going to leave for Odeid in a little bit, but the last few lines explain that there's another din. So in this din, Reb Shimon was Mekil. He said that you're home free, even if you get within 15 amot of the tchum, because you're really within the tchum. Then he has another din where he's Machmir. He says, like, if the strings break in the harp, so on Shabbat, you can only make a bow. You can't make a kesher. So the Tanakhama learned that I could make a kesher, like a knot on Shabbat. Remember, the Tanakhama held that Makshirim for Shabbos are Docha Shabbos, so you can make the knot. So Reb Shimon says, no, you can only make a bow, because we're only going to be matir, like the ancient Shabbat B'mikdash, so that will be matir. Okay, so we're going to hear now from our rabbi, Shmuel Yismach. We're very honored that Rabbi Yismach is here with us tonight. He normally is not able to join us, but we're happy that he's here with us. And let me just say a few words that, for any rabbi, leading a shul during this COVID is a nightmare. And then for any rabbi, beginning Rabbanus is somewhat of a nightmare. To have both together is like a triple nightmare. So, but Rabbi Yismach's been, he's guided us through. We give him a bracha that things should go well for him and for the whole shul. And hopefully we should be done with this COVID very quickly. Okay, so so the floor is yours, Rabbi Yismach.
Thank you, Rabbi Goldstein. It's not a nightmare. It's really been a dream, mamash a dream. And it's a dream because of the wonderful kehila, the community that we have. And the fact that we can get together, I see Lomdei Daf Yomi here and people who are not currently learning the Daf, and it's just like a chizuk for me to see. And as I'll reveal in a moment, I hope to be here for the next one, not just as an observer, but as a participant as well. So thank you to you, Rabbi Goldstein. You work extremely hard and with great effort to make sure that the shir goes on, to make sure there's a magad shir on Sunday, to make sure the Zoom is handled properly. There's a mirror for those who need it, and we're all very appreciative of that. To not have to think about Daf Yomi as a rabbi actually makes my life a lot easier. I don't learn it. I don't have to give a shir. It's gevaldik. The whole thing, top to bottom, is fantastic. Rabbi Simon, I'm very excited to be able to hear Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon and I usually hang out on the extent possible on the fifth floor of the library, which is his home away from his current office right now. And unfortunately, I have not been back to the YU campus in a long time. So I haven't seen you in person, although I have been zochah to speak on the phone. Thank you to the Weitzes for sponsoring this siyum. It's so nice, all of the schusim that they and Ramina's mom, Pearl, have brought the Selma's neshama, and this will really just, along those lines, continue with all of the good deeds and the learning and the Torah that you guys do. It's so impressive what you've accomplished in the past year, and we're all very proud of you. And daf yomi, daf shavua, whatever the daf, you guys are doing great. I want to just share a quick bracha. I'm not here for Rabbi Simon, honestly. I'm just in the way. I mean, you and Rabbi Simon. And not between you and the food, right? That's usually the problem. That's not the problem these days. I'm just between you and Rabbi Simon. So the bracha is not going to be from Erevin, because I think daf yomi is all about looking forward, right? Because today, I had the daf, I could have done a little bit better, but tomorrow it's going to be better. That's the attitude of daf yomi. So we're going to look at psacha. So we know the Mishnah begins, Arlar ba'asa bodkenes hachametz l'ar haner. And the main issue that is going to be discussed over the course of the first few prakim is the idea that Pesach doesn't make a lot of sense. Pesach, we know, has the Isser of Chametz, Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzah. You can't own it, you can't eat it, you can't derive benefit from it. Severity, which you don't find with too many Yisurim, but not only that, but the reaction that we have to that level of severity is way beyond what we have for any Dvar Isser, anything which is forbidden. And it's, I'm sure, going to come up on the document of the Gemara. You're going to discuss. I'm sure Ray Goldstein is going to explain why it is that chametz is so unique. Chametz, you can't just be mevatel it and say it's not mine. You have to also do bedika, search and destroy mission. You have to go and do all of the things. It's almost as if it's a radioactive material. Chametz, there's something about it. Many people think it's because it's like the Yetzer Hara, and so we have to go search and destroy and get rid of it entirely. But the bedika is chametz. The Mishnah begins with Daf Beis Amud Aleph, is really the semel, it's the symbol of that extra effort to rid ourselves of chametz beyond any other type, any other form of Isser that exists. So, with that in mind, with Pesachim coming, and hopefully Pesachim is a davar be'ito matov, it's going to, I think we're being Messiah, hopefully if we finish Pesachim on time, it's going to be just a few days before Pesach, which is a beautiful thing. So I wanted to share one bracha. Bracha is from the Eliyahu Rabbah. The Eliyahu Rabbah is in Siman Aleph and Shulchan Aruch. He's talking about the idea of how much does a person have to learn every day. And so he says, you know, there's a rule when it comes to tefillah, one of my favorite rules, Tov ma'at achnunim b'kavana miharbe shalom b'kavana, which means, you know, it's better to say a little bit and really mean it and really be focused and do a lot and to just be blown through it and not meaning what you're saying. So how does that relate to other mitzvahs? So on the page, the Eliyahu Rabbah says, "B'chein l'inyan Torah." He says, when it comes to Torah as well, it's true. Sha'al and La'adam were asked, as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, "Kavata itim b'Torah." We're just asked the question, did you set up time every single day to learn? We're not asked, how much did you learn? We're not asked, how many mesechtes did you go through? We're not asked, did you do daf yomi? We're not asked, did you learn all of Shas? We're not asked, how many machzorim of daf yomi did you go through? We're not asked any of that. We're just asked, did we learn something? So that, to me, that's the basic. But then there's like Pesach level. Pesach level of Arla Arba Asar, there's the level of a person who wants to come to Shemayim, literally, v'talmudo b'yadam. I don't just want to learn a little bit by day, a little bit by night. I want the achrayas, the responsibility, the mechayev. I want to be forced to sit down for, how quick can a person do daf yomi? That's where the gold thing. I don't know. How quick can a person do daf yomi? Maybe 30 minutes. Maybe they'll find the shiur with 20 minutes. There are minimums. And it's not just something, it takes no prisoners, daf yomi. You can't take the day off. And this crowd over here has successfully gone well beyond the minimum requirement of the Eliyahu Rabbah, well beyond Kavata Yitim LaTorah, and has done something that I think all of Pesachim is about, and that is to take the Shmiras HaMitzvah, particularly here when it comes to Mitzvah of the Torah, to a next level. So we should all be blessed. I hope, if I say it out loud, we nether, of course, but I hope to be joining your ranks with Maseches Pesachim. We should all be blessed to be able to go from Daf Beis all the way through Avir Pesachim at the end to be able to make a scene together. And I wish you all a yashar koach and a mazel tov yashar koach for being strengthening the rest of us who are just watching how capable it must be possible to do, because I see everybody here doing it, and I think a lot of you are incredible humans, but I don't think you're superhumans. And so I get a lot of chizuk by seeing everybody who's able to show up every night and every day, literally, and get this done. And so with that in mind, I thank you all, and I wish you a mazel tov and many, many, many more mesechtos and many, many more marzorim of Shas. Mazel tov to you all.
Right. Thank you, Rabbi Yismach. Rabbi Yismach, somebody's sharing my screen with me. Should I just say stop participant sharing? I'm getting
yes.
The... Okay. Okay.
Nice screen.
Now we're good. Okay. All right. Now, you know, this is known as Berger Daf Yomi, Solomon Zelda Berger Daf Yomi, and it was based on a generous contribution by the Bergers to the shul. But the Bergers are also celebrating their wedding anniversary, and most of the people here know, but not everybody knows, that Sal Berger, unfortunately, was in the hospital for many weeks with COVID on a ventilator, and many people who were in the same situation with him did not survive. He, Kana Nahara, is doing well. His wife also had COVID, and we want to wish them a big mazel tov for many years of health and happiness, and it's a chus to have Sal learn with me each day when he's able to, and he should continue to go mechayel el chayel. All right.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, also, if anybody wants to sponsor in the future, any future siyumim or days, we'll work something out for you. Let me just say a few words, and then I'll hand it over to Rabbi Simon. And, you know, a lot of my Torah I get from Rabbi Simon in general. People listen to me know, like, when I give my drushes at the Hashgama Minyan, I usually quote Rabbi Simon. When I give my Parsha Shir, I usually quote Rabbi Simon. So now I'm going to quote Rabbi Simon with Rabbi Simon. This week is Parshas Vayetze. So in the beginning of the Parsha, so Yaakov Avinu, he goes to Haran. And then he says, the Gemara Rashi brings down, Kimatu l'charan, when he gets to Charan, Amar efshar avarti amakom shipalu avotai lo palalti bo. What did I do? You know, I was such a nar. I walked by the Makom HaMikdash where my forebears daven, and I didn't daven. How could I not have taken that opportunity to daven on the Makom HaMikdash? So Rav Simon is quoted from Sefer Panine Das, the Torah from Rav Elia Meir Bloch, who was Rosh Hashiva in Telz. He says it's a big pagam in a person's ruchniyot if they don't grab onto every opportunity they have. So Yaakov was able to go back and to daven there. He, Baruch Hashem, was able to go back and daven there. But he brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't work out so well. It says when Hashem appeared to Moshe in the Sneh, by Esther Moshe, that he hid his face, and it means that he didn't want to see certain things. He wasn't ready for the ruchnius that Hashem wanted to give him. Then later on in Pars Kitisa, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hareini nat kvodecha, show me your glory, Hashem." So Hashem says, "When I wanted to give it to you, you didn't want it. So now you want it, and it's not happening." So sometimes, you know, a person, you know, misses. There are so many opportunities in life. A person has to grab every opportunity. Rabbi Simon likes to say, you know, if you have opportunities with your parents, grandparents, Rebbeim, you want to grab it. But I want to say also with learning. In other words, people, every day we have tremendous opportunities for all mitzvot, but there are opportunities to learn, and then the day passes and it's not there anymore. And a person, so here at Daf Yomi, I'm very fortunate. Hashem has blessed me with a wonderful group of Talmidim, and they give me as much chizuk. I hope they get chizuk from me, and they continue learning, and I hope they go continue on learning. But, you know, more people are also welcome, always at Daf Yomi. And then let me just mention, I want to thank also the Sunday rotation. We have, I don't know, the Hashkacha, we have four doctors who give the Daf Yomi on Sundays. That's Rabbi Dr. Lieber Cohn, Rabbi Dr. Barak Greenfield, Dr. Michael Frank, and Dr. Avi Goldberg. We're grateful for their participation as well. Okay, so now we're going to hear from Rabbi Simon. And again, with Rabbi Simon, let me just say a few words. He is a tremendous Rosh Hashiva. He's impacting on so many Talmidim. His Talmidim at this point are all over the world. And he gives shiurim both. He gives a couple of different shiurim, juggling them all together. He's the author of a number of Sfarim, Imrei Baruch, both on the Parshiot. He has Imrei Baruch on Minhagim, but he's also got Imrei Baruch on Erev and Rishuyot. So he wrote the Sefer on Erevin. So I figured who could be better to ask and who than to have somebody like Rabbi Simon. I should also mention, unfortunately, Rabbi Simon lost his father at the beginning of this COVID, and we as at Tzibur express our sympathies to Rabbi Simon. We hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants you nechama and that your father should go l'mal l'mal in Gan Eden based on all of your zechuyot and everything else that you're doing. All right, so now the floor is yours, Rabbi Simon.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldstein. Am I muted? Do you hear me?
Rabbi Simon, there's an icon in the lower left on your screen. You just press unmute.
Huh? Yeah, now you hear me? No. One second.
You can unmute him since you control it.
No, I don't. I can't control that one.
Melanie?
Let me see.
Jesse, can you unmute me?
Someone
can unmute me?
All right, he's going to get his wife to help him. One second.
Jesse, please unmute me.
There we go.
Okay, that's what we have little children for. To help the older adults with the technology of the day. Okay, Bishus, the Morda Asra, Rabbi Ismach, and Rabbi Goldstein, the I call the Baal Simcha, and it's so good to see you all, Rabbi Bronstein, Rabbi Harari, and Odeid Romima Weiss, and dedicating the shir for Mrs. Selma Horowitz. And I'm sure there are many other people here. I don't want to miss out with names and very special people. You know, Rabbi Ismach and I, really our relationship before the YU Library starts off in North Shore, in the North Shore Hebrew Academy, where I was Zocha. Hopefully one day I'll go back to give Shiurim to Rabbi Dr. Vitao and Rabbi Noam invited me to give shiurim there to the faculty, so that's where we go back. Rabbi Noam Weinberg, etc., and we go back a long time. Different people. I could probably speak just about the people here and the relationships over the years. So it's a tremendous chus to be here. The last time I gave this type of shiur for the young Israel was when Rabbi Goldstein made a siyum of Masechta Beitza. And I remember Rabbi Lerner was there, and so we could also discuss the comparisons of Masechta Beitza and Masechta Erevin. There's a lot to say here, but it's a pleasure to see you all. And now we're in a time that we don't always get to see each other. So it's a big schus to be able to see you. The Masechta Erevin deals with predominantly one of the main of the Lamed Tes Melachos. We know there are 39 forbidden activities on Shabbos, and one of them is Hotza'ah. That's like the last of them, that one is not allowed to move something from one domain to another domain. In other words, you say inside, you're engulfed by walls, by mechitzos, so you can't bring an item from inside to outside, because the outside is a different domain, it's a public domain. And one is not allowed to move things from one domain to another domain on Shabbos. And even though this malacha, Tosas says in Masechta Shabbos, is a very big chiddush, it's counterintuitive. Because most of the forbidden activities on Shabbos have to do with some form of creativity. You write, you cook, you create, you change different forms. It's creation. And when it comes to this malacha, it's not about creativity. It's about moving from one domain to another domain, or even within the public domain, to move it a certain distance. So that's why Tosa says in Shabbos, this is called a malacha gerua. a substandard malacha. It's not regular type of malacha on Shabbos, which is forbidden, is, as we said before, creation. Because that's what Hashem created. And then he stopped creation on Shabbos. So the things that are forbidden are usually of that character of being creative. And the Torah forbid that type of malacha. Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, one of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva, was a close Talmud to the late Mashkiach, Rav Yaakov Lessin. So Rav Lessin would say that what's the idea of this malacha, of Hotzah? You know, it's different, as we said before. But he said the following, Rav Lessin, that when a person is a king, somebody of royalty, and he's walking in the street, so you don't see him with carrying bags and carrying luggage and carrying things. It's not, it takes away from that level of the regal element of the king. In other words, a king walks without carrying anything, he has his entourage, etc. But when a person is carrying something, so that takes away from that regal aspect of the king. And since all of the Jewish people are considered b'lei malachim, they're considered on a higher level of respect. We carry ourselves in a different way on Shabbos. So therefore, when we walk, we don't have anything in our hands, we don't carry things, we don't move things from one. Even though, again, that's not about the regular type of malacha of being creative, but this is a new thing. This malacha is the malacha to show the idea of the malchus, that Klal Yisrael has a regal nature that they have on Shabbos that they don't have the rest of the week. And we show that by not having anything in our pockets, not carrying things. That's Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim, which is a very fascinating idea that the malacha of Shabbos brings out. And it's interesting that in Masechta Shabbos, that's the first malacha that's mentioned. The beginning of Masechta Shabbos is about Yitzias HaShabbos, is about moving things, carrying things from one domain to another. Parenthetically, I always like to mention that the uses of the English phrase carrying on Shabbos is very misleading. It's a very poor translation of the word Hotzah, because Hotzah doesn't mean to carry. In other words, if you would have something, you would have some type of clip that's attached to your clothing, and you're putting something on it to be able to somehow get it out, and technically you say, I'm not carrying, or you're pushing a wheelchair, you would say, I'm not carrying, right? But that's not really the definition of Hotzah, is not really about carrying, it's about moving something from one domain to the other, from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim, or within the Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain, to move it from one area to the other. I remember once, many years ago, I spent many summers in Camp Morasha, Morasha Kolel, many summers, and one of the things I used to do on Friday, after we finished the learning for the day, we'd have Mincha, so then we had the afternoon, so we would check the Erev. That was one of the Erevin that I was involved in. I'm not so involved in building Erevin in bigger communities. I'm more Erevin in the bungalow colony type Erevin, or in the camp type setting of Erevin, which has less halakha questions. But I used to help put up the Erev on. I didn't put it up. I helped check the Erev on every Friday. And once there was a woman there, a non-Jewish lady, who was would notice. She was involved in cleaning up the different parts in the camp, but she would see us every Friday that they were, we were checking the Erev. And she said to me, "What are you doing? What are these strings that you put? What's going on here?" So I didn't want to get into deep discussions. So I just said, you know, on Shabbos we're not allowed to carry outdoors, but we can carry indoors. So we put up these wires. It's like everything is indoors. That's what I told her. So the next week, the next Friday, we're back on our Erev tour, and she sees us at the same spot that she saw last week, and she says to me, "You know, I was thinking about what you told me, but who do you think you are? You think you're God? You make outdoors into indoors, indoors into outdoors? Who do you think you are?" So this is the concept of making Erev, of making an area enclosed. It's all about creating domains. We're creating a domain. In other words, when we encircle the area with these wires, it's called a Tzuras HaPesach, we're creating ki'ilu, this halakhic structure that we're creating is as if we made a wall around the whole area. And make a wall around the whole area, and that makes it a different domain than it was before. You know, a lot of times people have been discussing those people who are going to outdoor minyanim during this time. Some people, we started in the beginning of May when it became legal to daven with a minyan. So we had here in Washington Heights, we called it the cage minyan. The cage minyan was near, right outside of our building. It was an area enclosed with a fence, all enclosed, and it was the cage minyan. And there was always a discussion, you know, hopefully we worked hard to make sure we, you know, I just davened Maariv in the cage minyan. We're still keeping it as strong as we can for as long as we can, because some people, you know, still prefer dafka davening outdoors. Which, as long as the weather will hold up, you know, we can keep doing. We have indoor minyanim also. And there's always a question of if you're a different. They would say one person who was not ready to come out. When we started in the beginning of May, he was not ready to come out to our minyan in the cage. And he would daven in the fourth floor of the building next to us. And he would be davening, and we could see him. He could see us, we could see him. And we were always discussing, you know, what would if we would only have 9 people? Would he count to be the tenth person or not? Because we're in different domains. He's on the fourth floor of the building. So Baruch Hashem, it always happened that we had 10 people on the ground to avoid the question. But this was always a big question that came about, and I've given several shiurim about this topic. Some poskim say that to make a minyan together, even if you're not in the same domain, as long as you could see each other, that would be sufficient. And there are other poskim that say no, you have to be in the same domain. I remember one Friday we had somebody coming to our minyan and in the cage, and not everyone goes into the cage. Some people stand outside the cage. And the fella asked me, he said, you know, if you don't have all the 10 in the cage, then I would rather go to a different minyan, because I hold that you need everybody in the same domain. So I quietly went to the people who were outside and asked, could you do us a favor and come in? Because some people, dafka, even in the cage, felt they didn't want to get too close to each other and they wanted to still stand outside the cage. So I personally say it's okay. As long as you could see each other, it's good. But this fellow was machmir for the other opinion, that you all have to be in the same domain. So you have to be inside the cage, inside that area that's fenced around. And if not, then it doesn't count as 10 people 10 people together, and the person was nice enough to come in, and then the other fellow was happy. So these are the thing. And then there was an old question about, you know, reading the Torah. You know, some people didn't want to have the Baal Koreh and the person who's getting their aliyah stand next to each other. So now they built, you know, the plexiglass partitions. But in some communities, they had the person getting the aliyah stand 10 feet away from, or 6 feet away from the Torah. And even in some communities, what they did was they would have the Kriyas HaTorah on the ground floor, and then someone would come out onto his balcony, and they would give him the aliyah from 10 feet above. Clearly a different domain, and there was a big question whether that would be a proper aliyah or not, because you're in a different domain. So it's all about creating domains and bringing people together. But it's interesting, as I said before, the last time I spoke for Rabbi Goldstein, he was making a siyum of Masechta Beitza, which talks about Yontif. And Shabbos and Erevin is more about Shabbos. So the Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, the Meshech Chochma says a beautiful idea. He says that Shabbos and Yontif are fundamentally different holidays. Shabbos is all about being insular. You know, these words that we're hearing today, quarantine, isolation, these words that we never used so much in our vocabulary. Now we're hearing them every day. He's quarantining, he's isolating. But really, the Meshech Chochma says that Shabbos is really about isolation and quarantining. It's about you and your relationship with God. That's what it's about. I mean, Dr. Nissel once pointed out, we see in the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says you're really not even allowed to talk on Shabbos. You know that? It says, Bekoshi, with great difficulty, we permit people to say good Shabbos. That's what it says. Bekoshi hitiru, to say good Shabbos. Now, you're not going to have so much of a relationship if you can't talk to a person and you can't schmooze. That's the good part of life, is schmoozing. You know, I as Rabbi Ismach said before, I spend a lot of time in the fifth floor of the library. So when I was still single, somebody wanted to know, wanted to check me out for a shidduch for themselves. So there was the fifth floor and 5A. And this person, this young lady on 5A, wanted to look down. She was a different domain. She wanted to say, how I schmooze. Do I schmooze well? And then she would go out with me. But so that's part of having camaraderie, is being able to schmooze with people. But he says that really, that's not about Shabbos. Shabbos is you and God. Yontif is all about getting together. That's why it says in the Zohar that if a person has a Yontif meal and he doesn't invite guests, he missed the whole point. Shabbos not that way. And the brother of the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech Vilezhinsk, said an unbelievable thing. He says, "Ein bein, what does the Mishnah say in Megillah? Ein bein Shabbos leYontif el ochel nefesh bilvad." Which literally means that on Shabbos you can't cook, and on Yontif you can cook. Ochel nefesh bilvad. But you know what the Rebbe, Reb Zusha, said? The brother of Elimelech, "Ein bein Shabbos leYontif ochel nefesh bilvad." That on Shabbos you could what? You could eat alone. You could have ochel nefesh bilvad. But in Yontif, you can't have ochel nefesh bilvad. You have to be with people. You have to invite people. You have to have camaraderie. And the Meshech Chochma says that's the whole reason why on Yontif we permit taking food out to bring to your neighbor, because we want to facilitate the ability of carrying and things out and being able to be together. And on Shabbos, it's all about isolation and quarantining and things like that. Now, it happens to be that in this generation, it won't work. You know, there was a Jew, I don't know if you know the name of this person, some of you maybe do it, and some of you not, but he was the former president of YU, Dr. Richard Joel's Shatchan, Rabbi Abe Stern. Rabbi Abe Stern, he's my friend, Rabbi Steve Richter's father-in-law, Rabbi Abe Stern. So let me tell you what the Chiddush of Rabbi Abe Stern was. You know what the chiddush of Rabbi Abe Stern? Rabbi Abe Stern made a chiddush in life. And his chiddush now is used in every place. In yeshivisha circles, in chassidisha circles. You know what he was machadish? He was machadish the concept of a Shabbaton. The concept of a Shabbaton. Because in those days, you know, people, they kept Shabbos, but there was no flavor to it. And then people went off the derech. And he said, you know what, we need to do, and even though the Meshech Chochma said that's not the character of Shabbos, but he saw a call for this generation, that if we don't get people together on Shabbos, and we're going to just wait till the next Yontif, by then we'll lose everybody. And we have to have a Shabbaton, and we have to have people going away to another community or a hotel or someplace, and just gathering together and enjoying Shabbos together. And that was his chiddush. And even though that might not have been the Meshech Chochma's idea of what Shabbos is, that was his chiddush. And that's what that was his chiddush, and that became popular throughout the whole world. This little idea of a Shabbaton, of being able to be together. And that, you know, Moshe Feinstein is quoted as saying, he said, how come we lost so many Jews? So many Jews who came, immigrants, children of Rabbanim, who went off the derech. He says, you know why? I'll tell you why. He says, because there was an attitude that people had, es shver zu sein a yid. It's hard to be a Jew. That was the attitude. Es shver zu sein a yid. And he said, with that attitude, you lose everybody. You lose everybody. You can't have that attitude, as Shver says. I remember, you know, when I was in college, one of the best courses I took in college in YU was Yiddish. I took Yiddish with Dr. Alan Hoffman, who's lives in Washington Heights. It's interesting, his wife is my 5-year-old's son's Mora this year. So it's interesting the different generations, how we span the different generations of him being my teacher like 30 years ago and his wife being my son's teacher this year. So we went on a class trip. Where did we go on the class trip? We went to the Yiddish theater. Now the Yiddish theater was not for Hasidim and Anshei Maisa. It was usually for Yiddishists, which people who are not necessarily observant, but they were very into Yiddish. And we went to a Yiddish play, and the name of the play was Shver zu sein a Yid. It's hard to be a Jew. And that was the idea, because if it's a Shver zu sein a Yid, you can't make Yiddishkeit enjoyable, then people are going to just abandon it. They're just going to abandon it. I remember the shloshim for Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know, unfortunately, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son, Rav David Feinstein, was just nifter the other day. I remember he wasn't from the big public speakers, but I remember he spoke at the shloshim for his father many years ago. And he said, my father said, "Is gring zu sein yid." Gring in Yiddish means it's easy. It's easy to be a Jew. And that's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. Lo hibit ovbe... Lo hibid ovam v'yakov v'lo ra'omol b'Yisrael. That's in Parshas Balak. He says, I don't see people toiling in Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says. So the Or HaChaim says, what do you mean they're not toiling? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, because people who enjoy, my mother always tells me she should live and be well, if you enjoy what you're doing, you don't work one day in your life because you enjoy what you're doing. So the same thing the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, that people, the tzaddikim, who are loving and enjoying what they're doing, of learning Torah and teaching Torah and Avodas Hashem, you don't see the omel. Because they're so engrossed in the enjoyment of the pursuit, lo ra omel b'Yisrael. And that's what Yiddishkeit is supposed to be about. And everyone, and I see the enjoyment Rabbi Goldstein has for so many years, as long as I know him, you know, has been giving this dafyomi with such an enjoyment. You know, I never, once in a while I gave dafyomi in different stints, but I come to the Siyam. This year the Siyam was like freezing weather, as you remember. You know, it was like, I couldn't even stand outside for 2 minutes. It was a charge of energy that people were excited about, you know, even though it was a real cold day. I mean, what can I tell you? But Rabbi Goldstein, you know, that's his, you know, one of his missions. He loves teaching Torah, learning Torah, and that's the great simcha. Adam l'omol yulad. What is the kashrut z'magid say? L'omol lilmod al menas lelamed. Lilmod al menas lelamed. And that's what Rabbi Goldstein's Daf Yomi is about. He learns and al menas lelamed. And that's the difference. And Shabbos and Yontif, the two different aspects. But today, everything has to be like a Yontif. Everything, we have to bring people together. We have to enjoy Yiddishkeit. And we have to show that to our children. Because if we don't show that to our children, you know, then we'll lose that generation. And that's why that generation of many immigrants that came, and they couldn't give it over to the next generation, because it wasn't something that they found sipuk from. And that's what every Jew has a different way of what he can find his enjoyment in Yiddishkeit, in learning. Rav David Cohen always used to say, Gemara maybe is not for everybody. Some people should learn Chumash, some people learn Navi, some people, you know, in the yeshiva system, as Rav David Cohen once said, that's the way, that's the main thing. And it's, for some people, it doesn't work. You know, the famous comment of Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch on this week's Parsha, last week's Parsha. He said, Yaakov and Esav, the big problem was that they went to the same yeshiva. He said, they didn't belong in the same yeshiva. They were different types of people. They didn't belong. You know, I used to have talmidim. I used to teach before I teach the age that I teach now. I used to teach the boys before they went to Israel. That was the year I taught. And the whole year, we were talking about which yeshiva you're going to. That's why at the end of the year, when they finally went on, I would go to the airport to see them off, because that's what we were talking about the whole year. Which yeshiva you're going to? Which yeshiva you're going to? And a lot of times the attitude was, well, this is where my older brother went. You know, this is where my older brother went. So that's, of course, where I'm going. And some people said, no, this was for my older brother. That doesn't mean it's for me. Everyone has to see what's good for them. And that's what the Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch claims was the reason that Esav wasn't mistader the way he could have, is because he received the same chinuch as Yaakov, and they really were different people, and they really should have been in different yeshivas and different programs and different ways, etc. And that was his idea. So Rabosai, you know, Daf Yomi is a great thing. Nothing in the world is for everybody. And, you know, somebody came to me, and, you know, at the CM, he says, are you learning the Daf Yomi? I says, it's not for me, it's a different, you know, but whatever you find a sipuk from, whatever you find love for, and a drive for, and a passion for, and it's a healthy thing, it's a wholesome thing, so that's for you. That's for you, and you'll see. Lo ra omal b'Yisrael. You're not gonna toil, because you're gonna enjoy it so much, and that's what we have to find. And everyone could find something. Learning Torah is the only mitzvah that we make a bracha that it should be sweet. V'harevna. You don't say that about your lulav and your sukkah. V'harevna. And that's why they told us. Degel Machan Ephraim, one of the classic Hasidic Sfarim, says, Lo Berchu, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they didn't make a Birchas HaTorah, Le Berchu BaTorah Tchila. So the Degel Machan Ephraim says, it means because they didn't make the Bracha of Vaharevna. They didn't make that Bracha, it wasn't sweet, so the whole Avodas Hashem was stale. And that ultimately led to the Churban. So, Rabosai, you know, Masechta's Eirvin is considered one of the, you know, the Oni Rochev Alachamor, Eirvin, Nida, and Yevamos are considered the hardest Masechtas. But I'm sure for Rabbi Goldstein, it was Lora Omal B'Yisrael. It was, you know, he put in the effort, but it was all with Simcha, and I'm sure, you know, the fact that so many people come to the Shir and enjoy the Shir, so that's That's what it's all about, to find the sipuk, to find your niche in Avodas Hashem, and there's a niche for everybody. Men, women, everybody has a niche of where they're going to find satisfaction in their servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when it comes stale in this, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And that was Rabbi Abe Stern's idea. This generation can't wait till the next Yontif to get together. We have to have Shabbatons. We have to keep people together. And that's what we need to do. So that's another reason why this COVID thing needs to end. Because when you have COVID, everyone has to be apart. Everyone has to be. So one day, Be'ez Hashem, it'll end. I assure you, it'll end, and we'll get back to the Tzibur. We'll be able to be in the same domain. That's what Erevin is about. Domains. We'll be in the same domain together, and we'll be able to sing together and invite guests over together. But till that time comes, you know, we don't want to hurt anybody, and we don't want to cause any problems. So we'll follow whatever the rules are. But Be'ez Hashem, we should still daven, that we should be together, we should have a harevna. Until the true harevna, you could also have harevna on Zoom also, even though we're in different domains. But there's a lot of things, a lot of people that I met over this, you know, like in the Cage Minyan, you know, after the Cage Minyan, we got to schmooze with each other, and this, you know, it was Rabbi Reichman would come, and Rabbi Bleich would come, and we had a lot of, you know, beautiful interactions as well. But Be'ez Hashem, we wish everyone good health, because the Rambam says, if you don't have that, then there's not going to be any of a harevna. It has to be good health, and the Rambam, and that's the ikkus of Be'ez Hashem. We wish Rabbi Goldstein continued success in Daf Yomi, and the Kehila should continue coming, and everyone should, again, in their own way, have their share. V'sei chalkeinu b'sarasecha. Everyone has a chelik in Torah, and we should continue having the chelik in Torah and every day, Shabbos, Yontif, and all the different things. And Be'ez Hashem, I thank you, Rabbi Goldstein, for inviting me to share with you some Divrei Torah. We thank the Weisses for sponsoring, and we thank everyone who's here tonight to share in this beautiful endeavor. And again, we thank the Morad Asra of Ismach for, you know, every shul has that Morad Asra who keeps the engine going and keeps the hislavos, keeps the fire going. And Be'ez Hashem, we should all, you know, take advantage, as we said before, take advantage of all the opportunities in life. As Rabbi Goldstein said over to that vort that from Rav Elie Meir Bloch, which I heard actually from Rabbi Lazdun, who is one of the librarians in the yeshiva, who is also from that mishpacha, who is the one who pointed me out that idea. But it's a true thing in life. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have in relationships, in learning, in chesed. Every day of life is a day of opportunity. And don't lose a day. Don't lose an opportunity. And Be'ez Hashem, whether it means to do chesed, whether it means to call someone up, there's so many opportunities. That's why the Vilna Gaon, before his death, he was crying. Why was he crying? His Talmidim said, you did so much, you learned so much, you're going to go to Olam Haba. But he said, you know what, I'm crying because there are no more opportunities. In this world, for a couple of pennies, I buy tzitzis, I get a mitzvah. Opportunities in the Olam Haba, the opportunity is over. You get your schar, you get your yep. But the opportunity of doing doesn't exist anymore. This world is the Olam Ha'asiyah. So let's make sure we use it properly, we use it fully, and Be'ez Hashem, we should only see simcha, nachas, bracha, and good health for all of us, for all our families, our spouses, our children, our parents, our grandparents. We should all be together, and all Klal Yisrael have a tremendous good health, and Be'ez Hashem, we should all come together at the right time, and we should only see simcha, nachas, and bracha, lanu l'chol Beis Yisrael.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, Rabbi Simon. Thank you for your beautiful words of Torah. Though I could tell you, Erevin was rough for me too, Rabbi Simon. It is on me, Rochev, I don't know. Anyway, but I want to give a special welcome to Dr. Schiffman. It's good to see you, Dr. Schiffman. We haven't had you around in a while. All right, now we're going to hear from Odeid Weiss, who's going to make the seam on the Masechta. And then Dr. Ed Parv will say a few lines from Masechet Pesachim. And tomorrow night, we begin Daf Yomi Masechet Pesachim at 7:40. If anybody wants to join us, you have the link in the shul. All right, let's hear from Oded now.
Okay, so you're going to have patience with me because I told Fern, as you know, that I'm a Baal Tshuva yesterday and she couldn't believe it, but okay. שלא יתירו לך אלא משום שבות. איך קאי, אתם קאי, וכאמר תנא קמא כושרה. ואמר לי רבי שמעון ונבא, עניבה, דלא עתה לי חיוב, חטאת, שרו לי רבנן. כשירה דעתה לידי חיוב, חטאת, לא שרו לי רבנן. אדרן הלך, המוצא תפילין, וסליק עלה, מסכת עירובין. אדרן הלך מסכת עירובין ואדרן הלן דעתן הלך מסכת עירובין ודעתך הלן לה נשתנה מנח מסכת עירובין ולא תשתנה מנן לא בעלמה דעדין ולא בעלמה דעתי. Three times. אדרן הלך מסכת עירובין ואדרן הלה דעתך הלה מסכת עירובין ודעתן הלה לא נשתנה מנח מסכת עירובין ולא תשתנה מנן לא בעלמא עדין ולא בעלמא דעתי. אדרן הלך מסכת עירובין ואדרן עלן דעתך ועלן מסכת עירובין ודעתך עלן לא נשתנה מנח מסכת עירובין ולא תתנשי מנן לא בעלמא עדין ולא בעלמא דעתי. כי רצו מלפניך אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו שאת תורתך אומנותנו בעולם הזה ותה עמנו לעולם הבא. חנינה בר פאפה, רמי בר פאפה, נחמן בר פאפה, חי בר פאפה, אבא מרי בר פאפה, רפרם בר פאפה, רכיש בר פאפה, סורחב בר פאפה, עדה בר פאפה, דרו בר פאפה. הערב נא אדוני אלוהינו דברי תורתך בפינו ופיות עמך בית ישראל ונהיה כולנו אנחנו וצאצאינו. בצצי עמך בית ישראל כולם יודעי שמך ולומדי תורתך. מאויבי תחכמני מצוותיי כי לעולם יהי לי. יהי ליבי תמים בחוקיך למען לא אברוש. לעולם לא אשכח פיקודיך כי בם חיתני. ברוך אתה אדוני למדכי חוקיך. אמן 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 סלע ועד. מודים אנחנו לפניך אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו. שמת חלקנו מיושבי בית המדרש, ולא שמת חלקנו מיושבי קרנות, שאנחנו משקיעים והם משקיעים, אנו משקיעים לדברי תורה, והם משקיעים לדברים בטלים. אנו עמלים והם עמלים. אנו עמלים ומקבלים שכר, הם עמלים ואינם מקבלים שכר. אנו רצים והם רצים. אנו רצים לך עולם הבא והם רצים לבאר שחת. שנאמר, ואתה אלוהים תורידם לבאר שחת, אנשי דמים ומרמה לא ירצו ימיהם. ואני אבטח פח. יהי רצון לפניך, אדוני אלוהי, כשם שעזרתני לסיים מסכת עירובין, כן תעזרני להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור ולעשות ולקיים את כל דברי תלמוד תורתך באהבה. וזכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לי ולזרי, שלא תמוש התורה מפי ומפי זרי, וזרע זרי עד עולם. ותקיים בי ובלכתך, תנחה אותך בשוכבך, תשמור עליך והקיצותה היא תשיחך. כיווי ירבו ימיך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים. אורך ימים בימינה ובשמאלך, עושר וכבוד, אדוני לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו והשלום.
Great. Oded, did you want to say anything about your wife's aunt or not?
I think you did say a lot. I just want to thank everybody for, you know, she passed away exactly, you know, I said Kaddish tonight for her. They survived three sisters and one brother. I know they're downstairs in the kitchen. The sister and brother are still alive, and she's the only one who didn't have, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson once says that every person in life has a purpose. And her purpose, she was an astute businesswoman. She came here and she started a business, a laundry business in Brooklyn. And she gave all of them business and they all worked with her. And she gave us all, all of us, the Parnassah. and she also sponsored, you know, the Zecher LaShoah. It was very important for her that what they went through in the Holocaust, the memory will return. Every year she used to take us, to Rosh Hashanah program. And one thing that always bothered Romina, that Rosh Hashanah, and every year she used to say, Mirtzeh Hashem, next year we're going to be, you know, we're going to have another Rosh Hashanah. And last year, Tafshin Pei, she did not say it anymore. And, you know, she passed away after a while, you know. Dr. Avitan, you know, was there with us. Her memory will, you know, she helped us, all of us, her memory will be with us. People could not believe today that it's almost a year since. And what's nice about it, that, you know, she lives in a Mavoi Satum, the only place in Great Neg, I think I can call Mavoi Satum Rabbi, but in heaven, that's it. Thank you for everybody for participating.
All right, thank you as well. Okay, now Dr. Parver is going to give us a few lines of Masechet Psachim, and that'll be it.
Okay. Orla Barasa, on the night of the 14th of Nisan, Okay, as a chametz lor haneah, we search for the chametz by light of a candle. Koma kam shem achmetzim ba chametz enzurech b'dika. Any place in which chametz is not usually brought does not require searching. And in what instance did the sages say below? Stay shurot b'matev. Two rows of a wine cellar must be searched. In other words, since no search is needed in the place into which chametz is not brought, how do we account for the law given below in the Mishnah that two rows of a wine cellar must be searched? Makom shemachnisin bel chametz. It refers to a place where there is a type of wine cellar into which chametz is brought.
Okay.
Beit shamay say, stay shurot al pnei kol hamatev. Two rows over the entire front of the wine cellar must be searched. Beit tilal omim, stay shurot hachitzonot shein al yonot. The two outer rows which are the uppermost.
All right, yeshkoach. Thank you again. Thank you, Rabbi Simon. Thank you, all of you. Thank you, Odeid and Romina. And the siyum for Masechet Psachim comes up the week of Erev Pesach. So I hope people will join us for Masechet Psachim. And I think that's it for tonight. All right. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Thank you.
Bruchtia, everybody.
Thank you, Dr. Avitan. Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom.
Okay.
See you, Rab.
Have all your family is surrounding me, you know.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, Baruch
Hashem. Thank you for everything.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Also, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Also, be well.
All right. I'll see you, Rabbi Simon. Thank you.
Thank you.